After Samuel's death, David and his men moved down into the wilderness of Paran. Nabal lives in Maon, but his business is in Carmel, and he is wealthy but harsh and corrupt, and his wife Abigail is intelligent and very beautiful. David sends men to Nabal on the feast day to ask for food, but Nabal refuses. "Who is this David? Many are breaking away from their masters," Nabal says. "Shall I give to those I do not know instead of to those that I do know?" And upon hearing the news, David and his men arm themselves to attack Nabal and to take what they need. Now Abigail hears the news that David's plans are to come, and she quickly gathers 200 loaves of bread, 2 jugs of wine, 5 sheep already prepared to cook, 5 measures of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs. All is loaded on a donkey, and she takes them to David and his men, but she does not tell her husband. When she sees David, she dismounts the donkey and begs him to blame her for her husband's folly, but David accepts the gifts and he lets Abigail return back home. When Abigail sees Nabal, she tells him all of her doings, and his heart is struck by the Lord, and he enters into a coma, and 10 days later he dies. When David hears the news, he sends an invitation to Abigail to become his wife, and she accepts after the appropriate time of mourning is over, and she joins David and with her 5 maidens by her side. Now, during the time, David also has taken Ahinoam of Jezreel as a wife. David has not seen Michal, Saul's daughter, since she helped him escape in the night. Sometime during his attempt to kill David, Saul took Michal and gave her to Peleti as a wife. The Ziphonites report to Saul that David and his men are hiding on the hill of Hakilah. Saul has changed his mind about David and pursues him again with 3,000 warriors. So David sends spies to find Saul's camp, and David asks Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai, the brother of Joab, if one of them will volunteer to go with him. Abishai volunteers. The entire camp is asleep. David and Abishai find Saul asleep in the middle of the camp with his spear stuck in the ground at his head. Abishai asks David if he can kill Saul, but David will not strike the Lord's anointed. They take the spear and the jug of water that belongs to Saul, and they go across to the other side of the mountain. And at a safe distance, David calls back to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner. "Who are you who calls to the king?" Abner asks. David chastises Abner and his men for not guarding the king. Saul immediately recognizes David's voice. "Why are you pursuing me?" David asks. David gives him back his spear and his jug of water, and Saul says, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will not harm you because my life was precious in your sight this day. I have played the fool." Saul blesses David and they depart. Saul returns to his home. David returns to the land of the Philistines. Now David knows better than to trust Saul. He says, "One day I will perish at the hand of Saul." So David flees to the land of the Philistines, thinking Saul will not follow him there. He, his 2 wives, his household, and his 600 men move to Gath, where they live. He makes friends with Achish the king, who gives him the city of Ziklag. With his new home base, David and his men raid the Gershites, the Gerizzites, and the Amalekites and bring home the spoils, not leaving a man, a woman, or a child alive to tell what he has been doing. Achish will ask David about his adventures, and David tells him that he has attacked the people of Judah, Jerahmeel, and the Kenites. Achish believes David, thinking that he has made himself a stench in his own people's eyes. The Philistines decide to attack Israel, and this precipitates a conversation between David and Achish. Achish trusts David, and he agrees to make him his bodyguard for life. But that day, the Philistines gather all their armies at Aphek and line up in hundreds and thousands. David and his men line up behind Achish at the rear. Now the Philistine commander sees all the Hebrews and he will not let them fight. Achish tries to convince the commander, but he will not listen. Achish calls David and says, "Now listen, I find no fault in you, but you are not pleasing in the sight of the Lord's. Return to your place and go in peace." "What have I done?" David asks. Achish confesses that he is pleasing in his sight, but the Lord's will not let him join the fight against the Israelites. The next day, David returns to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines go to Jezreel. 3 days later, David and his men arrive in Ziklag, where they have left their families. The Amalekites have overthrown the town and they've burned it with fire. They also captured the women and carried them off, along with David's two wives. And David and his men weep. The people threaten to stone David because of the loss of all their wives and families. David calls for the ephah, and he puts it on, and he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord tells him to pursue the Amalekites. At the brook Bezer, David leaves 200 of his men who are too tired to continue, and they are to keep the baggage. They find an Egyptian in the desert, hungry and thirsty and tired. They refresh him, and they find out that he is a servant to the Amalekite group that has attacked Ziklag. David asks him to take him to the camp, and he agrees if David will not kill him. So the Amalekites are all spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the spoils that they have taken from the Philistines and Judah. David and his 400 men attack at daylight and slaughter them until dark. And David rescues all that is taken, and everything is recovered. Only 400 young Amalekites escape on camels. Back at the brook Bezer, the worthless men who followed David are wanting to split the spoils among only those who fought, but David refuses. He says that those who guarded the baggage are as important as those who fought in the battle. In Ziklag, David sends a portion to the tribes of Judah as a gift, and to all the places that have welcomed David and his men. After Samuel's death, Saul had no one to turn to that could tell the future. He has ordered all the witches, mediums, and spiritists out of the land. And when he sees the Philistines encamped around him, he disguises himself and goes to the witch at Endor and asks her to bring up Samuel's spirit from the dead. The witch is fearful as she describes the man who comes up to Saul, and the king knows that it is Samuel. "You've tricked me," the witch says to Saul. "Why have you brought me up from my place of peaceful rest?" Samuel asks Saul. "I am greatly distressed," Saul says. Samuel tells him that on the next day he and his sons will be with Samuel in the afterlife. Saul falls on the ground afraid because of Samuel's words. He refuses to eat, but his men urge him and he agrees. The witch provides the fatted cow and the bread for them to eat, and they return to the camp after dark that night. The next day the Philistines attack Israel and Jonathan is killed, as well as Malchishua and Abinadab, the sons of Saul. An arrow has struck the king with a mortal wound, and Saul asks an armor-bearer to run him through with the sword, but the servant will not do so. So Saul falls on his own sword. When the servant sees what Saul has done, he falls on his sword and dies too. When Israel hears that Saul is dead, they abandon where they are fighting, as well as their cities, and the Philistines take over the villages and begin living in them. That day the Philistines take the spoils of all the dead, and when they find Saul, they cut off his head, and they send it with his armor through the land of the Philistines to carry the good news. They put his weapons in the temple of Ashtaroth, and they attach his body to the wall at Beth Shean. The Jebus Gileads, whom Paul had rescued, hear of the defeat and march all night to Beth Shean, where they recover Saul's body. They take it in the bodies of his three sons, and they cremate them, and they bury the bones under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh. Then they fasted for 7 days. David has remained in Ziklag for 2 days after the defeat of the Amalekites, and on the third day there, an Amalekite who has stumbled across the body of Saul before the Philistines found him comes to Ziklag, and he has stolen Saul's crown and bracelet. The Amalekites tell David that the mortally wounded Saul had asked him to kill him because he was in agony. The Amalekite tells Saul that he killed the king just as requested, and he's bringing the crown and bracelet to David. David tears his clothes and he weeps. How dare the Amalekite lift his hand against the Lord's anointed? David calls a young man and tells him to kill the Amalekite. David says to him, "Your blood is on your own hand because your mouth has testified against you, because you have killed the Lord's anointed." David chants a song of lament over the death of Saul and Jonathan. It is called the Song of the Bow, and he teaches it to the sons of Judah for them to teach to each new generation, and it is recorded in the book of Jasher. The dirge speaks of the slain beauty of Israel on Mount Gilboa and calls for the mount to suffer because the shield of the might was defiled there. Saul and Jonathan are mentioned by name, and the song expresses David's great love for Jonathan. David receives permission from the Lord to go to the cities of Judah with his two wives, as well as his warriors. They all gather their families and they settle in Hebron. And there the men of Judah anoint David as king and tell him that the men of Jabesh-Gilead have buried Saul. David sends a message of blessing to Jabesh-Gilead for their kindness to Saul, and he prays for the Lord to bless them. And the messengers also tell them of David's ascension to the throne of Judah. Now Abner, the king of Saul's army, takes Ish-bosheth to Mahanaim and makes him king over the other 11 tribes. He is 40 years old when he begins his two-year reign. David will reign over Judah and Hebron for 7.5 years, and at the end of Ish-bosheth's reign, David will rule all Israel from Hebron for 5 more years before moving to Jerusalem. At the pool of Gibeon, the armies of Ish-bosheth and that of David meet. Abner, Ish-bosheth's general, suggests to Joab, David's general, that 12 men be selected from each side to fight the war. The 24 meet, each grabs the head of his opponent, and they all fall to the ground. Then the battle erupts and David's men dominate. Abner runs from the battle, and Asahel, the brother of Joab and Abishai, chase after him. Abner calls out and says, "Is that you, Asahel?" And twice Abner tells him to turn aside, but Asahel will not. Abner strikes him with the blunt end of the handle of his spear, and the shaft comes out Asahel's back. When David's men see Asahel dead, they stand still, but his brothers continue to follow Abner. At Ammah, the Benjamites make a vow between the brothers and Abner. And Abner calls back to Joab, saying, "How long will the sword devour?" And Joab replies back to him, "If you had not spoken, the people would have left in the morning, each from following his brother." Joab blows the trumpet, and Judah stops following Abner. It takes all night for Abner and his men to cross the Jordan and get back to Mahanaim. 360 of his men are dead. Back at Joab's camp, 20 men are dead, including Asahel, who they bury in the tomb of his father in Bethlehem. However, war continues for 2 years between Ish-bosheth's army and David's, but David grew stronger with each day. With that, the Bible gives us the record of David's children with his wives. Now, Abner has a sexual relationship with Saul's concubine after the death of the king, and it makes Ish-bosheth angry. "Why have you gone to my father's concubine?" he asks Abner. Abner replies, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show kindness to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers, and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hands of David, and yet today you charge me with a guilt concerning the woman? May God do so to Abner and more also, if, as the Lord has sworn to David, I do not accomplish this for him to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul to establish the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba." Ish-bosheth is afraid of Abner now. Abner sends a message to David, telling him that he's about to join his side. But David sends a message back saying, "You will not see my face unless you bring to me my wife, Michal." So Abner goes down to the house of Pelti and gets Michal and heads towards David. All the way, Pelti is right behind. He is weeping and he is crying and he says, "But she's my wife, she's my wife." And finally, Abner turns around and says, "Oh man, go on home." And with that, he delivers Michal to David. Abner takes with him 20 men and he promises David that he will serve him and give him all of his allegiance. When Joab shows up, they tell him of Abner's visit. Joab thinks it's a trick, and he sends men to take Abner captive at Sirah and bring him back without David's knowledge. At the gate in Hebron, Joab and Abishai kill Abner by striking him in the belly because that is how he had killed their brother Asahel. David hears the news, tears his clothing, mourns, and weeps. All Israel sees David and knows that it is not his intent that Abner be killed. "May the Lord repay the evildoers according to his evil," David says. After Abner's death, Ishbosheth is disturbed and afraid. Two Benjamite, commanders of the tribes of Abner, they slip into Ishbosheth's house while he is taking his afternoon rest. They kill him. They cut off his head, and they take it to David. And David says, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress? When one told me, saying, 'Behold, Saul is dead,' and thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him in Ziklag, which was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more, when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house, on his own bed, shall I not require his blood from your hand to destroy you from earth?" David has his men kill the two men for touching the Lord's anointed. He has their hands and feet cut off and hung beside the pool of Hebron. He then has Ishbosheth's body buried in the grave of Abner in Hebron. When Saul and Jonathan were killed, Jonathan had a son crippled in his feet, who was only 5 years old at the time of their death. The nurse had taken him as she tried to flee, and she fell while she was carrying him, and it made him lame. His name is Mephibosheth. And at the time of Ishbosheth's death, he was 7. With the death of Ishbosheth and the kindness of David towards him, the 11 northern tribes come to David in Hebron and make him their king. He was king over Judah alone for 2 years while living in Hebron. And then he was king over all of Israel in Hebron for 5.5 years. And finally, he captures the inhabitants of the great Jebusite city of Zion. And there he is king for 33 more years. He begins to build it up, calls it the City of David, and names it Jerusalem. Hiram, the king of Tyre, sends carpenters and stonemasons with cedar trees to Jerusalem to build a house for David. And in Jerusalem, David takes more wives and more concubines and has more sons and more daughters. When the Philistines hear that David is king, they march to Rephaim and camp there. And David asks the Lord if he should attack, and the Lord says yes. And David defeats them there in Baal Perazim. Those that run leave all their idols behind, and David's men carry them away. The Philistines gather again at Rephaim, and David asks the Lord if he should attack them. And this time the Lord says to move behind them and attack them when they hear the rustling in the tree leaves. When David hears the sound of marching in the tree leaves, he attacks. He marches against them from Gibeah to Gezer. Now the Ark of the Covenant is stored at the house of Abinadab in Baal, Judah. And David takes 30,000 chosen men in a new cart to bring the Ark to Jerusalem. On the way, the ox stumbles and Uzziah reaches out to steady the ark, and he is struck dead immediately. David calls the place Perez Uzziah and stores the ark by the home of Obed-Edom for 3 months, and the Lord blesses Obed-Edom greatly during that time. David then sings a song of thanks. And after that, after the 3 months, David brings the ark to Jerusalem. This time, according to the instruction of the Lord, when the priests carry the ark 6 steps, David sacrifices an ox and a fatling. David dances, shouts, and blows the trumpets in front of the ark all the way to Jerusalem, wearing only a linen ephod. Michal, his wife, sees David, and she is humiliated by his actions, displeasing him in her heart. She confronts him about his actions, and because in her heart in the matter, she never gives birth to a child for David. David puts the ark in a tent in Jerusalem, and all the people of Israel rejoice and bring offerings. All the countries around Israel are at peace, and David decides that he should build a house for the ark. When he asks the prophet Nathan if he can, Nathan tells him to do what he wishes. But the Lord comes to Nathan that night and has him return to David to stop his plans to build the house for the Lord. The ark has been in the tabernacle since the wilderness days, and the Lord has not instructed anyone to build a house. So David is not to build the house, but he tells David that one of his descendants will, and the Lord also promises David that his throne will be established forever. David receives Nathan's message very well, and he worships and prays to the Lord, thanking him for all that he has done for the nation of Israel.